we're on our own. It's just regular people like us. It's moms and dads, and we don't have money behind us or anybody. It's really just us. We sell t-shirts so we can have picnics and stuff. Like, that's really, it's that, like, homemade. But it works.
It's grassroots, and I'm proud of that. Very proud. Yeah. This is grassroots.
It is.
So, and we're going to continue to win with the grassroots. Hi, you're listening to We Are Reopen Bucks. In this series, we sit down with some of the key players in the reopen movement and discuss their experiences navigating the pandemic. Today, I'm chatting with Karen Majewski, a special education teacher in Bucks County who has started a movement to help teachers understand how they can leave the teachers union. Welcome, Karen. Thanks for coming on.
Hey, thanks, Josh. And also, I just want to let you know that I feel very honored to be in the presence of Lord Reopened.
Lord Reopened.
Yes, and Lady Reopened as well. Thank you for having me.
What a wonderful. Welcome to the podcast. Excellent intro. I just want to start by asking, I feel like you've got a very interesting story to tell being a special ed teacher in the age of COVID, mm-hmm. having to do all that's associated with that. How did you become a special ed teacher, just to start?
So I became a special ed teacher many moons ago, and I found that the need to have knowledge in special ed and a degree in special ed was becoming more and more. I actually had my bachelor's in early childhood, and then kids that I was coming into my classroom just had needs that I wasn't able to meet. So I went back, got my master's in special ed, and started there. So it's been 9 years in special ed. So that's kind of how I got started. I just wasn't able to meet all the needs of my students. So I said, I better get my butt back to school and figure it out. So that's how I started.
So where are you then, end of 2019 or early 2020, just before COVID? Paint a picture of, you know, what types of students you're working with, what that job looks like.
So I work in a multiple disabilities classroom. And I've been there for, this is my sixth year in that classroom in a school district in Bucks County. And my students have really complex bodies, complex communication needs. They receive a lot of therapies every day. They're awesome, though. They have great personalities. They are funny and smart and very they're awesome. So I love my job. I love my students, and it's a very rewarding job for sure. So that's where I was and currently am now in 2019, 2020. That's where I was in that classroom.
And what happens then? I mean, the big question when COVID hits and everything changes, clearly school would be shut down, all of that, that school year for 2020. But, once the school started going back that fall, were you guys like always going to be in person? Despite, I mean, a lot of schools and classrooms didn't go back to in person.
Yeah.
I'd imagine yours, there's no choice. We have to get these kids back in school.
Yeah. All the special ed classes, or I should say all the low incidence special ed classrooms, which is, you know, autistic support, life skills, MDS, they all went in person 5 days a week, and they gave parents options. Parents could send their kid, or they could also have an opportunity to do virtual. So I had some students in, and I had some students virtual. So, which was very interesting. That was challenging, for sure. But masks were required for staff at the time, and students were able to, in their IEPs, say that they were unable to wear a mask. So some students had them, some students didn't at that time.
Now, how did you, this teacher's union issue, which you pick up, that happens during COVID, is that correct?
So 2021 in June. I never had a problem, you know, I've always been a part of the union ever since I started teaching, and I just never had a problem with them, and it was quiet. And then in June 2021, the teachers union, the NEA and the PSEA came out with these like huge stances and stuff that I had never heard them weigh in on before. And they were doing it in a way that was really going against how I felt. And it was also in a way that they were just talking for everybody. The PSEA came out against the Senate bill And the Senate bill was basically saying that they were opposing that schools required vaccination.
Yeah, like a vaccine requirement.
Yeah, exactly. COVID. Right, exactly. So they were opposing that. The bill was opposing that. But the PSEA was coming out saying, we want to oppose this bill because we don't want this to happen. We want schools to be requiring vaccine information and vaccine records and stuff like that for COVID. So, and they started it off with saying, we're speaking on behalf of all 178, members, right? Exactly. 178,000 members, and people's, you know, heads exploded and they're like, what, you know, and mine, especially mine exploded. And I was
How much would you say, just to challenge you there?
Yeah.
I'm always curious because we have a lot of teachers in the group, mm-hmm. and I mean, everybody knows a teacher
right.
somewhere in their life, their family or friends or whatever. Not all teachers are very ultra progressive liberals, right? So like in your experience, you know, short of the stuff you would wind up doing with helping folks to leave the union and figure out how to do that, just how many other people roughly would you say were on the same page as you, as like, okay, wait, this is not representing me, you know, they're going a little bit too far?
It's an interesting question because there are, the more that I speak with people, so prior to this, I probably would say that most teachers agreed with that statement or seemed to agree to that statement. But the more that I talk to people and talk to teachers, I find that that number is much larger than I thought it would be, because teachers who do feel that way keep it to themselves and they don't want to go against the grain and they don't want to stand out, because oftentimes a lot of teachers, you know, kind of either mostly run liberal or more, Democrat, and they just, it's just like one big storm. It all ties in.
Yeah. And so, you put yourself in the shoes of a teacher who's just happens to be a conservative person.
Right.
You almost have to make a business decision. Like,
yeah.
I have all my colleagues think one way.
Oh,
I
yeah.
want to blend in this building. You have to get along yeah. with people and work with people. So
yeah, the peer pressure is really
right.
significant. You know, you work closely with people. This person is, you know, wearing their I got my vaccine badge or sticker or whatever. And, you know, they're talking mm-hmm. about it. And it just kind of, you know, you don't want to be the odd person out. So people just go ahead and do it. And, you know, you're working together so closely with people every day, all day. And there's just a camaraderie that happens and people just kind of fall in line.
Something I've noticed that might not be, well, I'm not sure if it's relevant, you know, to the teacher experience, you'll have to tell me, is people who hold, I'll use Team Reality as an example. Team Reality principles, people generally just kind of want to be quiet about it and leave it alone, like leave me alone. And
yeah.
I don't want to make fuss about this. Whereas you mentioned the whole vaccine sticker thing. I love that, because like how many people threw their profile for, like they really want to put it in your face, like look what
yeah.
I did. And so in general, I would imagine that would be a thing for just conservatism as well. Like those teachers don't want to be just talking about that stuff at work. Like
yeah.
that's
yeah.
your...
Well, it's a bizarre double standard though, because
right.
you have people, you know, you have people at work, teachers at work. I think something that people don't realize, or maybe they do realize that nobody wants to talk about it, is that it's very political in a school. There's a lot of politics that go on and that might not be like in your face politics, but it's there. So you have people who, you know, will talk about the vaccine openly and how wonderful it is. And they'll talk and they'll, my gosh, I've had people clap when they find out, you know, and that someone got the vaccine and they got their boosters mm-hmm. and they think it's like the most amazing thing and their tears are coming out and it's glorious. But, or when, you know, elections come and, there's the climate in school, you can feel things change and it becomes not about education, and it's just a lot more about politics. And it's a shame because it's, in my opinion, it has
yeah.
no place. It has no place to be there.
Well, so it goes to something that I think is going to become an important part of the story we're going to try to tell, what you wind up doing. It's like the system. I mean,
yeah.
I believe in my heart that even very progressive teachers are still at the end of the day educators. They're
mm-hmm.
people who care about teaching children. They care about the students. They care about their communities.
Right.
So we obviously, you know, we can all get along and have these jobs and that's great, but the system seems to be designed to maintain that atmosphere you're talking about. And when we say the system, you're probably kind of talking about the teachers' union.
Yeah. Yeah, that's definitely, you know, the teachers' union is so big. It reminds me of like a runaway train kind of, where, you know, it starts with the NEA at the top on a national level and its involvement, and it just trickles down. Starts with the NEA, goes down to the state level, and then it goes down to the local level. And there's just so much that goes on from, all, you know, coming down to the local. It affects and gets into every school district. And even if people don't realize that it's there, with money and, you know, hiring of board members and pushing narratives and CRT. That was the other thing that the NEA came out with. Their big stance in June of 2021, when I wanted to get out of the union, was they were saying that CRT belongs in schools. And they were basically saying that the NEA wants CRT in schools. There was multiple articles about it.
I feel like now all I ever hear is, what? There was never CRT in schools.
Right, it was never there.
You don't even know what CRT is.
Like, right. No, and now they're like, it's there. We want it. And then they were even going as far as opposing people who didn't want it. So they were going to like make, you know, a specific committee that was going to look at places who don't want CRT
and
fight back against that. So it was crazy. So that was another reason why I wanted to get out of the union, a personal reason. And it was,
you don't want your money because you're paying X number of dollars per month.
Exactly.
And not insignificant amount of
money. No, a large. I was paying roughly like $160 a month to the union. And
that's a utilities bill. That's some
That's some gas money, you know.
And did you ever know? I honestly, genuinely, I do not know. Like, where does that money go and what does it do? Does that just wind up in Hillary Clinton's bank account? Like, where does that go?
And I had no idea either. And I was always told that it goes to protect us and...
Okay, legal fees.
Right, legal fees, things like that. Right, exactly. And it goes for like lobbying and the legislature and, you know, it's all about education and we're backing what's best for educators and stuff like that. So when I saw the statement saying that they were, so PSEA came out with that statement, like I was saying, about they were speaking on behalf of 178,000 members. To me, I'm like, well, hold on a second. You know, that's not me. I'm not in there. Nobody asked me. And on top of that, my money is supporting that.
Yeah.
So, if that, to me, that was an example of them saying that they were lobbying for the interest of teachers. Well, that's not my interest. So you're actually not lobbying for my interest. You're lobbying for your interests or whoever, you know, I don't even know if you asked anybody, but so they, that to me, I was like, yeah, I can't have my money doing that anymore. So I wanted to pull it out. And I think a lot of teachers might want to do that and they don't like how things are going, but it's very scary and they don't have the information to know how to do it or what that process looks like or if they're going to get in trouble and what other alternatives there are. So but I think when teachers are ready, they don't care and they'll do it. Like that's where I was at. I said to myself, I don't care. You know, I'm at the point where I can't sleep at night knowing that I'm funding this ridiculousness that I just don't believe in.
I want to ask you an extension question off that before we get into like, okay, what did you do at that moment? Because I feel like that's when the story gets interesting. You kind of started this movement here. But when it comes to teachers realizing, okay, I'm not okay with this, this doesn't align with my values, it's a lot like when people see the light about COVID hysteria. They need to come to it in their own time.
Yes.
And everybody's got their path to walk of when they're going to see it. So in your experience, now that you've kind of set up this organization and you've helped a lot of people through this, does that reflect your experience that people just eventually say, okay, you know what? Now's the time. I got to get out.
Yeah, totally. And that's a great correlation there that, like you said, people will walk their path. And no matter, I mean, I can talk till I'm blue in the face to teachers and say, hey, like there's this alternative, there's this information, this is the process, it's so easy, it's free, and there's all these things that are just like, to me, I'm like, this, do it, it's like a no-brainer. And but to them, they're just not ready. And you can only, you know, you can only do so much and talk so much. And then, like you said, when people are ready, they'll reach out and they'll do what is best for them. And
that's that old adage, you lead a horse to water, right?
Oh, but yeah, can't make what you're drinking. Yeah. Although I have heard that you can make them thirsty.
That's what we'll do. Yeah. Keep it up. Just keep going, NEA. Exactly. You're doing good.
Yes,
thanks.
Exactly. Yeah, and the NEA has really been their worst, you know, their worst enemy. I mean, they've shot themselves in the foot.
Do you see at any, you talked about the federal level, state level, local level, is there any, you know, balancing mechanism to all of this? You use the term runaway freight train, and yes, I love that because it's like they just go into one side and that never seems to stop. Is there any counterbalance mechanism in place that you're aware of?
So what's interesting about a runaway freight train or runaway train is that once it's going so fast, it can't pivot, right? So it's going and it's out of control. So the NEA is really put themselves in a really bad position because they are so runaway and hell-bent on the direction that they're going in that when you have these articles or you have these things come out showing that what they're doing is not in the best interest of people, they can't alter their route, you know, their route. They can't change. So they just keep plowing ahead, which makes them look even worse. So I don't think that there's anything to stop the train. I think it's more so that on the state and the local levels need to make changes to then try to show them that, like, hey, you know, like, your train is not on the same track that everyone wants to be on. So, and in my opinion, I think the only way to do that is, nothing talks more than money. So pulling out your money and not funding it is really the only way I think that will slow it down or make them say, oh, maybe we should rethink this. And I don't even know if that would work, but, you know, and I can't control what they're going to do and what they, you know, are doing, but I sure as heck can control my own money. So,
yeah. So there you are. You mentioned this article comes out summer of 2021. You're unhappy. You feel like you're not being represented by the union. You decide that you're going to do something else. And your first step is just leaving the union. Mm-hmm. When did this whole movement that you got going on now, where you're helping people understand what that picture looks like and how to do it, when did that come into the picture?
So after I left the union, I utilized a couple organizations that really gave me lots of really great information and resources. So I opted out going through Freedom Foundation, which is a national organization, and they helped me opt out and they gave me so much information that I had never known about legally about opting out, information about just the representation aspect of things. And then they put me into contact with another organization, a teachers association called KEDA. And so then I learned even more information and I just thought to myself, how is it that I have gone 9 years of teaching without knowing any of this? And I've never heard anybody talk about this. I've never seen any flyers. I've never seen any emails, nothing. It's, you know, I'm not a new face to education. So that's what really frustrated me, but also motivated me to say, okay, I need to get this information out and I need to, provide this information because there's a hole there, right. You know, there, this is missing. And that really motivated me to say, hey, you know, I feel relieved that I know this information. I feel empowered that I know that this is out here and that I could make a decision that was good for me. Why would I not want to share that information with other teachers, regardless if they want the information or not? At least they should have access to it. So
seems pretty reasonable.
Yeah. I mean, I thought so, you know, and it, to me, it's helping people because I'm sure if I felt that way and I wasn't happy with those things, then I'm sure there are other people. So, that motivated me and was my driving factor of just helping people and saying, hey, there's some information out here. So then it turned into, well, how do I do that? What's the best way that I can, get this information out to as many people as possible? And knowing also that it is a delicate topic because unfortunately, as soon as you try to give information or provide information that goes in the opposite direction of being a part of the union, people balk and get kind of nasty about that. So,
and that goes to, again, the fear I think I would assume that teachers have is twofold. One, it's like logistics of leaving the union and having access to the union's support structures, but then also just within your building, what are you going to be a black sheep now? Like, how does that work? So what was that experience like for you as
yeah.
a first example?
What I like to tell people is it's really no one's business whether you're in the union or not. Hmm. And I think that people automatically think that they have to like tell their reps and they have to tell their principals and they have to tell everybody. And I'm a believer of being like, just keep it to yourself. It's just really no one's business. It's your money and you can tell who you want. If you want to tell your principal, tell your principal. If you want to tell your rep, tell your rep. But if you don't have to tell people. So, you know, you're in control of your own information. So what I chose to do was, I didn't tell anybody and I just kept it to myself and nobody, you know, I sent my opt out letter and I never was contacted or harassed by the union. They never, you know, reached out to me to give me a hard time about anything. I let my HR department know that my dues should be stopped being taken out.
Oh, cause this is another thing. They're yeah. automatically deducted mm-hmm. from payroll, right?
That's right.
Wild.
Yeah.
It's wild.
Yeah. And there's actually something going on about that now where, and I'm not 100% sure on this topic, but there's something going on where they're going to cut that, where that
right.
Because it's something with like the district is using
district resources
exactly.
to do it. You
yeah.
have to do it on the back
exactly.
end of the payroll.
Right, exactly.
That is coming out of taxpayer
yes.
funds.
Yeah, so that is.
So if you're frustrated with paying for that letter you read, I mean, I kind of paid for it too, I
yeah,
guess.
Yeah, you did. That's true.
Dang it, I want out.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, there's a lot going on with that. So I just let the HR department know that my dues should be stopped. And it was a very smooth process.
So that's good.
No one ever gave me a hard time. I didn't have anyone harass me about it. Even when I did let my building rep know, it was only for the sake of saying, hey, our contract negotiations were coming up. I want, you know, to let you know I'm not part of the union, but I would still like to know about what's going on with the contract. I realize I can't vote on the contract, but I would still like to know what's going on. And they were very pleasant and, you know, just said, okay, yeah, we'll let you know. So it was a easy transition. So to me, I was like this, well, now I really want to let people know. And I'm sure it wasn't always going to be like that. But, you know, I think that there's a lot of fear and misinformation around it. So if I can let people know, hey, you know, I'm not saying it's going to always be, you know, roses and butterflies and kumbaya, but if I could be a resource and help people through it, then yeah, I'm there for it. So
then you start this, you would eventually make this page. So there's a mm-hmm. Facebook page now, Union Choice for PA Educators, which
yes.
is, to me, it's like you're compiling a bunch of information and resources, providing, it's almost like how-tos and walkthroughs and just talking people through stuff. There's interviews,
yeah.
et cetera. Mm-hmm. So a lot of content on there. Did that then change the experience for you where maybe once you start doing that, suddenly you're on people's radar and things start changing?
Not really. I think that I really wanted to make that page a place where people could just get information. I didn't want it to be a place where people could argue and attack mm-hmm. and things like that. It was more so of, hey, here's some resources. Did you know about this? And you probably don't. So you should just take a look at it. And if you are fine with whatever you read, then great. You know, then, you know, stay in the union. And or if you didn't know about this and now you do and you're okay with it, then, you know, to each his own. But if you didn't know about it and then you read this and now you're not happy with it, you know, here's some more information that you could look up. And here's an alternative, a great alternative. Like I was saying, KETA, the Keystone Teachers Association, is a great alternative that does the exact same thing as the union, with representation and liability insurance and everything like that. And they're cheaper. So I really just wanted that page, and I want that page to just be a place for people to gain resources, and people can message me if they have questions or want, you know, I could walk them through something if they're unsure, and to share it to different groups and so people know what's actually going on
yeah.
about you know, all that union stuff.
I gotta say something that this bothered the heck out of me earlier today. And in advance of this interview with you, I'm like looking around, seeing how things are going. I was obviously aware of the page. You told me about it relatively early on when you made it. I go and I look, I'm just checking out what's been going on. You have your pinned post, which is literally just saying like, hi everybody, here's what we're doing here. Hope this information is useful. It's literally just saying like, we're here to provide some information. Hope it's good for you.
Right.
And you have a handful of knuckleheads who angry face reacted to that. Like, so there's, you know, your union lackeys, but I'm like, that is just so representative. I mean, I'm sure they've like reported your page.
And tried, yeah.
I mean, come on, people.
I'm sure. It's sad. And I think one thing that I have learned and come to realize is that in doing little things, I mean, I really try to just put information out there. I'm not going hell-bent on bashing the union. I'm really not. You know, it's more so, hey, here's this information. I'm not anti-union. I think that people should just have a choice. But what I find to be the most disturbing of this entire experience and eye-opening is that even when there is a flyer or an email or, you know, talk of any kind of information of an alternative, I think the thing that has been so loud to me is that the union, and I'm not saying every person in the union, obviously, but people in the union take that opportunity to basically bash or lie or put out misinformation or smear that information quickly, as opposed to taking the opportunity and saying, hey, look, here's an alternative. But instead of taking that opportunity to say, oh, we have some competition, or, oh, you know, right, people might be looking at this. Right. They take that and they don't highlight themselves. They don't showcase to their members, no, this is why this is why we're better, because we do this and we do that and we're amazing. They don't do that. Instead, they put their energy into, you know, defacing and slandering and lying to the members about it. And they put their energy into that. And to me, that's embarrassing.
Yeah.
And
Well, they are, at the end of the day, an entity that is supposed to be, I mean, it's labor. They are a labor union. And it's so consumed as being political is the way I see it now. What you just described to me is, that's politics.
Yes.
You're not competing in like an open marketplace. You're just trying to protect your power structure.
Yeah.
Because you've developed a nice little nest for yourself within that power structure. So it's not even about trying to grow, trying to lead, trying to do good things for people. It's literally just about defending your turf. And you see that like so often in politics that I feel like that's more applicable to what you're describing than
a
labor union.
They've really lost transparency with their members. They tend to just use like the fear and the lying and the misinformation to kind of keep the members nice and together and quiet, and then they don't allow for any other option or any even just access to things. So that to me does not. I'm happy to not be in the union anymore. That's my obvious personal opinion about it. But it's gone so far away from what the union originally was there for, and it's just gotten so off track, and they've really just lost their way, unfortunately. The other thing that really bothered me, I was already out of the union, but the other thing that really bothered me was, the union put out this was during the time when masks were optional, and
I remember this.
Yeah, and the union put out a big like newsletter or email, or I think it was an email. And it was basically telling people that if you are in the union, you need to be wearing a mask. And if you are a union dues paying member, you're wearing a mask. And it was telling people that they should, if you see another member that doesn't have a mask on, you should report them. Oof. You should, there could be fines involved and you could be paying money. And it was insane to read that.
That is like, they done lost their minds.
Yeah. Yeah. They went right off the deep end.
They became their own health department.
Yeah.
They
just thought that was a good idea. Crazy. And meanwhile, it's like, what are these people thinking? I'm employed by the district. I follow what the district is saying. I'm not employed by the union. You know, you're not my boss. The union is not my boss.
You mentioned by this point, you're out of the union. So you're just kind of looking at people dealing with that like, yo, peace.
Yeah,
like, I'm
right.
doing my thing.
Exactly. And I felt bad for them. And people who I knew wanted to take their mask off, I actually knew people who it was optional and then they took their mask off. And then that email dropped from the union and they put them back on. Ugh. And I remember going up to them and saying, hey, you know, like, what's going on? You know, you didn't have your mask on yesterday and now you do. And they were like, and they were honest. They were like, I don't want to be bullied. And they said, I don't want to cause trouble. And I don't want people to, you know, bully me or report me or whatever. And I remember thinking to myself, what a sad, ridiculous state of affairs this has come to, you know, that they have literally come down to just bullying people. So the Union Choice for PA Educators website or Facebook page is just something for people to get information on that maybe they don't have access to. I'm sure they don't have access to it. Or just maybe they have questions about it and they're not sure and they feel uncomfortable or they don't have anyone to ask in their buildings. I talk to a lot of teachers who say, this never would have come up. I never would have gotten this information. And they're thankful for it. And that's what makes me feel really happy when people are thankful that, and they feel like how I felt when I got that information. Yeah. And that's really rewarding for me and being like, yeah, you're welcome. You know, here's the information. And I'm not tied to what you do with it. You know, you either take it and run with it. And if you don't, and that's something too, that's been difficult to watch, you know, when the union, you know, over the years, I've watched lots of union reps go in and go kind of like little minions go and they find the new hires and they, you know, use all kinds of tactics and they say, hey, you know, like sign, here it is. You're a union member. That's what you do. And they pressure these people. And I don't want any part of that. So, you know, people want to join an alternative. Great. If they want to opt out, great. But I'm not going to come harass you. I'm not going to come force you to do anything. So
cool. You're doing a lot of great things. Union Choice for PA Educators. Where can people find out more about this?
Yeah, so you can find me at Union Choice for PA Educators on Facebook. You can find information there. You can send me a message or, you know, send me a message on that page too. There's interviews, there's information. I try to put up some new stuff. You could like the page, follow the page, share the page, all that good stuff. And yeah, get as much information as you can, pass it on to other educators in the area or people who just might be interested in having that information.
It's like we all gotta look at it as the teacher system is a little bit of an underground railroad.
Yeah.
Like if you know some teachers.
Yeah, just slip it to them.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's crazy because I actually have met people in like parking lots to get the information
it's a drug deal.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like I felt like a back alley deal where I'm like, you know, popping my trunk and like sliding them some information and be like, hey, there's an alternative. And then they peel off and then they don't want to know who I am.
It's very cool what you're doing. And it, to me, this is so incredibly on topic and on brand with Reopen Bucks and COVID and everything, because it's like, how can choice ever be wrong? How can it be giving information to people? How can that ever be wrong? Like if information threatens your power structure, you have a bad power structure.
Yeah.
It's my feeling about it.
For sure. I agree. And it's apparent. It's been very apparent to me through all of this, seeing it firsthand, how that is the case. And it's a shame because like you said, choice should never be a bad thing. So, and people doing what's right for them.
Yeah. Well, thanks for doing everything you do, being a part of hopefully the solution here.
Yeah. No, I appreciate it. Thank you for all of your support as well. And you guys are doing awesome. And you know, love that you're rocking the podcast now and just expanding and growing and meeting the needs of what everyone needs. So
fantastic.
Thank you.
Good stuff. Thanks for coming on.
Yeah. See ya.